I like the freedom of just not having the set list. I've got a list of about 30 or 40 songs I've learnt. The audience requests some. I get to tell some of my stories, which, you know, frankly, are pretty bloody good. And I made a live album of the Hebden Bridge gig I did last year, just me on guitar, and selling that at the gigs. And I just like the conversational and intimate aspect of that. For me, it's always been my favourite kind of gigs to go to. It's not really been the big event. It's been the, 150, 200 people in a small place. I think music is so alive like that. And more and more, I have to say I'm not keen on the big event gigs with screens at the side of the stage and all that. It just seems to me like really it's just become a very big television rather than feeling that you're actually with the performer or you're involved too much.
So. And that's because when you said you're playing 20 years for Voice Act I Am Club, do you think that's because you've been slugging it out down playing other gigs and playing smaller venues? Do you think that's kind of goes back to your roots thinking you don't want to do that because it's what you're used to and what you feel like you feel more at home at?
I do feel completely at home in these gigs, much more so than on a larger stage, although we've obviously, with 14 years together with I Am Clute, we've really grown into that role. This is really, I feel like, more who I am, which is, tell a few gags and I've got them laughing, I've got them crying. And it's free as well, and there's not been the same gig twice, neither with the set list or the stories, or, of course, with the different atmospheres. All the smaller gigs that are run independently, they've all got their own different atmosphere in the room. Academy kind of gigs, all those big square black boxes, again, I'm totally against them. We played one once, and I just think they're completely designed just to get as many people in as possible. They're not designed for sound, and I don't think the whole thing is really about music. I really dislike those places, and I think that just coming to a different feel of room every night, it just gives you such a great contrast of both. So I've got the set list changing, I've got the stories are different, and the rooms are different every night. And I've managed to wangle myself just 2 or 3 days a week. So I'm just doing, because I booked it myself.
Part-timer.
I am a part-timer. So I've booked it myself, so I'm doing 2 or 3 a week. I'm going home then. It's great, obviously. I'm very, very lucky just to be in that position.
Does this give you a chance to play songs that you wouldn't normally play in I Am Clute sets and stuff like that? Ones that you particularly like a lot, but you don't get to play them because when you play I Am Clute, maybe that doesn't go down as well?
Well, I think there's a curve to an I Am Clute gig that really you are building and dropping drama and stuff. And when you've got a lot of musicians on stage, obviously it's got to be a much more structured thing. And also when we're doing I Am Clute, we are usually playing all the songs from the newest album and then, the favourites, really, from our back catalogue. Whereas, tonight, I take requests from the floor, from the audience. So
I've got one for later on.
Okay, so. It's good as well that I save it until I'm actually there because I pretty much, we've got 140 songs all together. But I pretty much can play. I mean, there are 15 or so that is just ridiculous to even attempt on just a guitar. But I can pretty much do them all. What did I do the other night? Bigger Wheels, which is a song from our first LP, which, this is it, as time goes by, you actually forget. I mean, you forget some of your stuff that about it, even. And Bigger Wheels is, I played it last night, and I realised it was one of my favourite songs I've ever come up with, and I've not played it on stage for maybe 4 years.
Did it come straight back to you? Did you know it like that?
Yeah, I did know it. It's pretty much. Well, the other thing about playing just on me Todd is if I do slightly get it wrong or forget it, I just go with that. And again, it can be. So I often have different intros for songs and different ways of structuring them. I get the lyrics I don't change. But for instance, Bigger Wheels is a real driving, almost skiffle with the band. But this I'm playing in a more kind of, I don't know, almost Simon and Garfunkel finger style. It's the same rhythm, it's just that I'm not strumming, I'm playing finger style, which I'm doing with most of the songs, actually. I'm not really a strummer, I do play, kind of folk picking finger style. So that kind of means that I'm playing the songs as I originally wrote them before we arranged them for the band. So it is a different take on them.
When we spoke last time, I think this time last year before your Grand Opera House, I asked you and you said you're constantly writing and stuff like that and constantly scribbling away and trying new stuff. Mm. First off, have you been writing for the new I Am Clute album, and are these gigs a little tester and give people a little taste of what's going on?
Well, actually not, no. I've not been playing anything new because, as I say, I'm really trying to rediscover my whole back catalogue. Right. And also, we've done 14 years of arranging and writing, recording and then going out and playing albums. And I think when we walked off stage at the Apollo in Manchester in December, I think I turned the switch off or whatever it is, and it's been nice. I've not mentally thought to myself, I must write, I have to write, there must be new stuff. I think I have somewhere internally decided that this year I'm not doing stuff. I've come up with some nice stuff at home that I've recorded that's just, you know, it's the germs of ideas that I've not seen out. Because I think to really nail a song, you've got to sit down with it, and it can be quite a disciplined thing. Your inspiration, it has to come first. It has to be an inspired moment, but then you have to graft at it. So I'm keeping those little things that come to me, but I'm not exactly grafting them out at the minute. And I figured on it, I would deserve a bit of time off for bad behaviour.
We'll talk about songwriting because, you know, you're highly regarded as a very successful songwriter.
Yeah,
and
thank you.
Well, that's very true. I'm not saying that because you sat there, of course. But you said it's something you have to graft on, but how does a song start? Is it from a certain lyric, a melody, some finger-picking, do you respect your lyrics on personal life?
Well, thanks. I've been singing along to people's songs since I was a kid. My family sang along always to whatever they put on a record or a cassette in the car or whatever, and I always did that. And often, like, as you probably know, you know, if you don't know a song and you sing it along, you make up your own words. And kind of, for me, that's what songwriting is. It's making up your own words to the stuff that comes. I think that's how it started for me, really. Just making up words to other people's melodies and songs, because I didn't know what the words were. And the moment of it can come from somebody else's song that you get inspiration, or it can come from sitting and playing, or often for me it comes when I'm out driving or walking. And I'm just kind of humming stuff to myself, like, you know, people do. It's just that I've always got my phone or something with me, and I record just, you know, a lot of stuff that just comes to me. I think I've sat and played guitar for hours and hours pretty much every day of my life, and since I was a kid, and I think eventually that all the notes and the spaces in notes all kind of go into your head somewhere, so that even when I'm not got the guitar, it's still kind of working away in a way. So I mean, I'd say songwriting's close to daydreaming. You know, it's a strange, you know, you just got to take yourself out a bit, not without much effort. I find that driving, yeah, is a good one. You're occupying your brain enough with driving to doing something. But this other part of your mind can still work away with that. Because if you sit down and try to write, I very rarely come up with anything then. But then once something comes, I think the thing is, yeah, you do have to, sometimes you have to sit down and graft at it. Sometimes, and it's often the best songs for me anyway, what I personally like the best are the songs that they just seem to be there in one go. And I think that's to do with just maybe, you know, years and years of just playing, and the music's gone in you somewhere, and it's just, I don't know.
Being a fan of your songs and stuff like that, I find them very intimate, very raw, very personal, and you can interpret them to your own, you know, your own things like that. The songs like Mouth on Me, for me, that sums me up perfectly, I think.
I've heard that from a lot of people.
Yeah.
And it's a song about kind of about shyness and or not being... I was loud as a kid. They used to put me on separate tables in the school. But I was actually very shy. It's quite a weird one. I think so. Mouth on Me is about that, and I opened with that last night. I'm going to open it with it tonight because it is a reflective song. Because also, there's a kind of joke in the song, which was, you know, the chorus is, "I was young and I had a mouth on me," and I think people, it's kind of amusing because they're like, "Yeah, you were young and you had a mouth on you, and now you're old and you've still got one on you." You know, there's that kind of aspect to it, and I like the lines in that. Yeah, the lines of friendship drawn were slack. I went along with the park bench crack. You know, exactly. I'm trying to say, you know, I went along with the trying to be, you know, hanging out. But really, I always felt like really I was the shy kid. But I think I compensated with a bit of a loudmouth, I think. But, you know, weird one.
Do you find the gigs and stuff, you say people are laughing in the right places, crying in the right places, stuff like, you know, Northern Skies, Proof like that, they connect with people a great deal. Why do you think that is? Do you think it's because you're real honest in the delivery and the way you play and the lyrics that you pen down?
They're two optimistic songs, Northern Skies and Proof. They're both in G or E. I think a lot of my songs do pull downward and inward. And I think that people really enjoy that about my stuff. And as you said, it makes me feel very close to the song. And as if the song is about them or for them. And I think that when I would then put Proof and Northern Skies into the set, they are not light relief, but they are an uplift. They're really important. So in lots of ways, I think at a gig, they always come over as the one that's like, oh, wow, you know. It is the kind of joining in songs. They are. I think people, they're a bit of a lift and, you know, away from me, you know, talking about things that are hidden in cupboards and don't open, don't go in there and things like that, you know.
Do you feel like you have to be in a certain headspace or certain vibe to be when you write songwriting? Some people, you know, drink helps them, or the night, I think I read something before, the Sky at Night, you said you wrote a lot of that at the night time because that brought out the kind of element in you. Do you personally have to be in a certain headspace to write? Do you need to be sad, happy, or do you just, you know, one time you just go off on one thing, right, here it is?
I think the key thing is to not kind of make yourself any rules about that.